Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
What if you're not ready to stop breastfeeding, but you're totally burned out from the constant demands? Or maybe you're thinking you really want to breastfeed for a while, a year or even beyond. In this episode, I'm talking with Erin Harris, a certified lactation educator and creator of Nursing Mamas, about the very real and rarely discussed world of extended breastfeeding. Erin shares her personal journey, expert insights, and how setting boundaries can actually strengthen your bond with your toddler. If you're nursing past that first year or thinking about it, this episode is a must listen. Welcome to the Birth with Power podcast, where knowledge is power and power transforms birth. I'm Dr. Nicole Calloway Rankins, mom of two and practicing board certified OBGYN with over 20 years of experience and nearly 2,000 births attended. I've seen firsthand how the hospital system can leave women feeling unheard and uncertain, but that doesn't have to be your story. Here, you'll get the knowledge, support, and strategies to take charge of your birth experience so you can walk into the hospital feeling calm, confident, and empowered. Note, this podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not a substitute for medical advice. See the full disclaimer at drnicolerankins.com/disclaimer. Now let's get to it. If you're feeling overwhelmed or unsure about birth, you are not alone. But there is a path to feeling calm, confident, and truly empowered. The Birth Preparation Course has helped over 2,000 women do just that, and now it's coming to a close. But before it retires, you've got one last chance to grab it. For 2 days only, May 1st and May 2nd, it's just $97. And when you enroll, you'll get free access to my brand new course, The Birth with Power Pathway, when it launches. This is for you if you're due in the next 6 to 8 weeks, or if you're a few months out and want to get access to what's coming at the lowest price it'll ever be. I'd be honored to support you in these final days of the birth preparation course. Head to drnicolerankins.com/enroll before the doors close for good. Hello there. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. This is episode number 294. Whether it's your first time listening or you've been here before, you know I'm glad you're spending some time with me today. Today's guest is Erin Harris, a certified lactation educator and the creator of Nursing Mamas. Erin holds 2 master's degrees in health and family communication and blends that expertise with her own over 4-year nursing journey to support moms in extended breastfeeding. She helps those who aren't ready to wean but are overwhelmed with on-demand nursing, showing them how to set boundaries that preserve the bond without leading to burnout. We're diving into what extended breastfeeding really looks like, the emotional ups and downs, setting boundaries, and how to gracefully transition when you're ready to stop. Whether you're currently nursing a toddler, thinking about tandem nursing, or simply curious about what nursing beyond infancy can look like, this episode is full of encouragement, insight, and real talk. Now, before we get into the conversation, I want to share a recent review that truly warmed my heart. It's from SAEEDAHDDS. This was left in Apple Podcast, and it says, "Dr. Nicole is the balance you need. I found Dr. Nicole's podcast when pregnant with my second, and man, oh man, do I wish I found her with my first pregnancy. This podcast, in my opinion, is the most informative and unbiased on this platform for learning about all things pregnancy and birth related. I always recommend this to anyone I know who is expecting. The balance between her medical knowledge and the fact that she is a mom herself, her love for both OBGYN and midwifery philosophies, The way she supports both natural births and medically supported births, trust me, this is the balance you need. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that. Hearing that just reinforces why I do this podcast, to help you feel informed, supported, and seen wherever you are in your journey. I love it, love it, love it. Truly warmed my heart. And I want you to know, I actually read every single review that comes through. They mean so much to me and they help others discover the show too. So if you've been listening and this podcast has helped you, I would love it and be so grateful if you take a minute to leave a review in Apple Podcasts. And who knows, I might read your review on a future episode. All right, let's get into my conversation with Erin. Thank you so much, Erin, for agreeing to come onto the podcast. I am so excited to talk about this topic because I've never talked about it before. And honestly, I haven't really heard that much about it. And I suspect the listeners will feel the same. So I'm excited that you reached out.
Oh, I thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to share this subject because a lot of moms, I think, are in it and just not talking about it.
Yep, definitely, definitely. So why don't you start off by telling us a bit about yourself and your work and your family, if you'd like.
Sure. My name is Erin Harris, and I'm a 40-year-old mom of two, and they are currently 5 and 8. And so because of that, I was with my younger, a geriatric, you know, mom. Same. Going in, right, you know, by like 2 weeks. And I always knew I wanted to breastfeed. I'm a very studious person, so I took all the classes and did all the things, and it was still just very blindsided by how difficult it was with my first. Mm. But we're both stubborn, and it took a while, a lot, and it was very painful for a while, but we made it through the figuring out the latch and all of that. And just kind of kept going and going and going. And so we made it to 6 months. And then I was like, okay, well, how about a year? And then how about 2 years? And then how about through a pregnancy?
Okay.
And we just kind of kept going.
Okay.
And that really kind of led me to what I'm doing today, which is helping extended nursing moms. That was not my profession pre-COVID. I, for a decade, was a college instructor. Mm. And I have 2 master's degrees, one in family communication and one in health communication. Uh-huh. So I'm kind of utilizing all of that now, right, to help parents and families learn to communicate with their toddlers. Okay. And negotiate on nursing.
Okay. All right. And then have you done any training in lactation specifically?
Yes. I'm a certified lactation educator. And so I got that through Cal State Northridge. It's basically a 6-month, at the time it was COVID, so it was online course. Mm-hmm. And so basically the difference between a certified, and this is actually really important for everyone to know. Right. You can ask like a certified lactation educator or CLE. It's also known as a CLC, like a counselor. Mm-hmm. Is different than an IBCLC, which is kind of the highest ranked lactation educator or like lactation expert.
Right.
And so if you're in the hospital and you're having troubles, definitely ask for that IBCLC. We, in my level, are really about education and effectively, like, we can, how it's phrased in my course was, we can do everything but touch.
Okay.
Right. We know all the stuff, but we're not as hands-on.
Gotcha. Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, I always come from a perspective of, there's certainly something to like your own personal knowledge that you bring to a topic. And we often all mm-hmm. come to the work we do because of our own personal experiences. But I also think it shows something when people go that extra step and get some additional education. It just shows a level of commitment to it, I think. So.
Oh, absolutely. And I do not think anyone should be doing this work without that. Okay. For sure.
All right. So let's get into, you talked a little bit about, you know, you had your own experience with extended breastfeeding or nursing, and that led you to start wanting to teach others. Was it because, were there any particular feelings around it, or did you feel isolated, or what did that experience feel like for you?
Oh, absolutely. And actually, when I started Nursing Mamas, I didn't have the focus uh-huh. of extended nursing initially.
Okay.
My first course was actually a prenatal course. Uh-huh. But as I was finding people, and I was connecting more and more with the ones who were beyond a year.
Okay.
And with the emotions of it, the struggles, the new moms who were maybe 6 months and like, I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, I fully if that is their right, I'm not going to try to convince them otherwise.
Sure.
But I didn't understand because it wasn't my lived experience. And so that I saw the need. I, you know, had done some searching. I looked on Instagram and there really wasn't anyone talking about it. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to take myself down that road. Okay. And it's been so fulfilling to do that.
Good.
Because as you mentioned, it was very isolating. Mm-hmm. I'll get it probably into that more a little bit later. Right. But the older your child gets, kind of the less you talk about it,
right,
unless you have people in your life who are also in that realm,
right,
because people just don't understand.
Yeah, definitely. So why don't we start with, is there a definition of extended, can we use breastfeeding and nursing interchangeably? Yeah. Or what is extended breastfeeding?
Yeah. Okay. So the term is, the best definition I looked up to that I agreed with, mm-hmm, was breastfeeding past the cultural norm, I think is a really good way to phrase it, because there is no, to me, uh-huh, true extended. It's whatever works for the mom and baby.
Gotcha.
And so I preferred really toddler nursing as my phrase, but in terms of search engines, uh-huh, and people know the term extended nursing, and it's used often, so I use it.
Gotcha.
But for my purposes, I help women beyond a year of nursing.
Okay.
So, and that can go up to 5 years.
Okay.
I don't think I've worked with anyone beyond that, but really the distinction is that you're out of the infant stage, mm-hmm, and transitioning into that toddler period.
Okay. Got it. And how common is it for people to do toddler nursing or extended nursing?
Well, that's kind of hard to say, mm-hmm, because it depends on the age. Mm-hmm. The CDC has something called a breastfeeding report card, mm-hmm, that comes out every 2 years. It seems like for some reason they pushed this current 2024. So the most recent one we have is 2022. And looking at that, the national percentage at 12 months, it was 35.9. This is a little tricky. It came out in 2022, but it's looking at data from 2019.
Okay.
So it's actually the year my younger was born.
Gotcha.
Which I think is important because this is still pre-COVID data. Mm-hmm. So we still don't know exactly how that influenced,
sure,
it. I have ideas, but that's as far as they go. They don't, even though, and I'm hoping this changes with the next one, even though the recommendation currently from the AAP is to nurse to 2 years and beyond, they haven't actually looked at that data to see.
Gotcha.
So the World Health Organization, though, has looked at a year, and they say at a year, 68% of moms worldwide are still nursing. And at 2 years, 44% still are.
Okay.
So that's a pretty significant number.
Right.
And from what I typically see, if you make it to 2 years, you're probably going to go a little further than that too.
Gotcha. Finding something to wear during pregnancy shouldn't feel frustrating. And with Armoire, it's actually fun. Armoire is a clothing rental membership that gives you access to high quality, beautiful pieces that fit your changing body and your style. You take a quick 5-minute style quiz, pick what you love, and fresh styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. I recently tried Armoire and y'all, I loved the dress they sent. It was flowy, flattering, and it had pockets. I felt so good wearing it. You know that feeling when something just fits right? That's what Armoire delivers. And for you, Armoire is the answer to feeling cute and confident in maternity clothes without spending a fortune. No more clutter, no more wasting money on clothes that won't fit in a month. Just stylish, feel-good options on your terms. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/Dr. Nicole. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/Dr. Nicole to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Now, I saw a graphic that you had on Instagram that talked about the stages of extended breastfeeding. So what do you define as the different stages?
Yeah, this came about from just talking with a lot of people, mm-hmm, and seeing a pattern in where they land. And it's not necessarily just developmentally or age related, but the first phase I do start with, I use an analogy of like a flight. So when you're in like really starting off and like ready for takeoff, right, as I call it, it's that you are exiting that infant stage, the 1 year to usually 18 months. Mm-hmm. There's not necessarily a significant difference in the actual nursing experience itself, but there are transitions that happen for many moms where you can maybe wean from the pump at this point. Mm-hmm. That's usually a game changer. I know it was for me, like getting rid of that thing made nursing more enjoyable. Right. My body regulated, right, to just being with her. And that was really great. But you may also start, depending on where you are and the support you have, getting some of that more negative feedback from people or asking, when are you going to wean, mm-hmm, that you maybe didn't get in the first year. Mm-hmm. So those are the big things from that stage. The second stage I call cruising altitude, and it's the best. This is the fun part of extended nursing, where it's like you have a superpower and you're just in sync with your child. And, you know, if they're sick, if they're hurt, whatever it is, like you have this amazing resource at your fingertips. And this stage, it doesn't matter the age of the child, but this is where I want everyone to be, right? This is the best part of it. Stage three is turbulence. And this is usually when people find me. This is usually when they're touched out. They're not sleeping because there's a high rate of co-sleeping with toddler nursing. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of dependence on that. And so these are the moms who are struggling to find that balance again. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're still doing on-demand nursing with a toddler, which I don't necessarily encourage because you end up getting here in this burnt out stage.
Okay.
And stage four is ready to land the plane. So there's usually, for me, the biggest distinction, I get people in and when they're in turbulence, they say like, I need to wean, but they're not necessarily in the right state of mind to wean. We need to get them some boundary setting going on. And then the people who really are ready to get to those last nursing days, mm-hmm, it's a very different mindset. And there is a grieving process that goes through that. Mm. And so emotionally, it's a very different place to be.
Gotcha. That's very helpful. Very helpful. So what are some of the rewards and some of the challenges of nursing a toddler?
Oh, okay. So the rewards, it just is like when people talk about like that bond, mm-hmm, like it's so strong. And I will preface the saying, like my younger weaned at 4 months. So I have very dramatic different, okay, 4.5 years and 4 months.
Okay.
And so when she cold turkey weaned, I was really worried about that bond, right? I was like, how am I going to connect with this kid? And we absolutely found other ways. So I don't want anyone who's listening to this who didn't meet maybe your goal to think that you didn't, like you're not going to have that connection, mm-hmm, with your child, but it is a unique connection that I had with my older. And so it's just this powerful parenting tool as well. Like, as long as it's not your only parenting tool, that's where people really get kind of burnt out. Mm. But it is this unique thing that you have that no one else does. And that can be very powerful. The challenges, as we've already kind of talked about, it can be very isolating. And I know for me, you had asked, like, what was my motivation, mm-hmm, to do this work? My last nursing session wasn't devastating, but the grief I felt was heavier than I ever expected. Mm-hmm. And we had a very beautiful ending. It was on our terms and we were both ready, but I that's one of my goals. I have a community. I try to be there as a resource for moms who just don't know anyone else who's going through this.
Gotcha.
And I actually asked in my stories, mm-hmm, yesterday, like, what are some challenges what you're facing currently?
Right.
And overwhelmingly, it's sleep. That when you still are struggling to, like, with a toddler who's waking and insisting on nursing, mm-hmm, for years, mm-hmm, that's unmanageable, of course.
Yeah.
And so, but when all you hear people say, well, just wean. Like, if that's all you're told, like, that's not helpful. Mm-hmm. Because if it were easy, we would do it. And often these toddlers are very strong-willed, and it's a huge challenge to navigate when you're exhausted. Sure. So I would say that's usually the biggest challenge I hear when people come to me.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. So how is breastfeeding a toddler different than breastfeeding an infant?
It's just so much better, in my opinion. Quite honestly, that was actually another reason why I started gravitating to the toddlers, is because infants are exhausting, man. Okay. Like, then the pressure, I think the pressure to be this mostly sole provider of nutrition mm-hmm. and comfort mm-hmm. is so much in that first year. So having that pressure off of me was really fantastic. But I would say another amazing thing is they can talk to you about it. Huh. So as they're older, you know, when my daughter started getting older and was talking more, I asked her, you know, what does it taste like? And her first answer was broccoli. And I was very proud of that. But sometimes it would be ice cream. And then one time she told me milk is love. And it was just like, oh, okay. Like, it literally is right. in her mind. Right. Like, this is the epitome of love.
Right.
And when I had my second, I tandem nursed. And so it was so valuable to have her as the voice of the baby. So my younger would be fussy on one side. Uh-huh. And so I'd asked my older, you know, what's going on? Is milk coming out? And she's like, yeah, well, this side is okay, but that side blasts out. And I'm like, oh.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was the side I had had mastitis twice on. And so it had very clearly affected the letdown.
Right.
And so it was just knowing that and having words to put to it was like, it was so helpful.
Right. Right.
and a very different experience from the first time. So I would say that was my favorite.
Okay.
Yeah. Those were my favorite parts.
Yeah. I never would have thought of that.
Yeah.
And what does, in terms of like, frequency, schedule, like what does nursing a toddler look like?
Yeah. So that can vary widely depending on age. And like I said, if a mom, what I see a lot of times is a mom trying to do, you may have heard the phrase like, don't offer, don't refuse.
Okay.
And so when, as like a strategy to wean, but if you don't refuse, that can look like on-demand nursing all the time mm-hmm. is, you know, so I don't usually encourage that. Like, some boundary setting is needed, especially as they get older. Mm-hmm. Mostly I think the schedule that allow women to really get into those deeper years of it is usually like 3 times a day is okay. very common.
Okay.
So it's very normal at like wake up time to have those morning snuggles, nap time to get down to bed, and then bedtime, maybe overnight occasionally.
Okay.
So that's where I try to get people to if they are still on demand. Mm-hmm. And where people see pretty reasonably they can do.
Okay. Now, before we get into like some suggestions, are there any mm-hmm. misconceptions that you'd like to clear up about extended nursing?
I think there's two that come to mind. Mm-hmm. The first is that we love it and that we must always love it. And the reality is like, it's really hard a lot of the times. And some of these moms are the moms whose babies refuse bottles. Maybe these are the moms whose babies really couldn't tolerate formula. Mm-hmm. And so it was not in our minds that we would get here.
Sure.
It felt like we had to.
Right.
And so that pressure, there's a lot of pressure to be that only person. It's the flip side of the, you know, the being feeling like I'm the only one who can do this mm-hmm. to, why am I the only one that can do this thing?
Yeah.
And so having empathy for moms in this position, because it is very stressful a lot of mm-hmm. the time to continuously use your body to comfort someone else.
Right.
And the other is this idea of like, oh, you just want to keep doing it. You're keeping that kid on your boob. And there's no child that if they don't want to nurse, they're not going to nurse. You can't force a child to nurse. Mm-hmm. And so just knowing that as well, like if you are trying to be responsive to your child and their nursing needs, no one is actively like saying you have to do this.
Gotcha. Okay. So if you are currently nursing a toddler and you're thinking about getting pregnant again, What are some recommendations, you know, two or three recommendations you have?
Okay. So at different phases, so holistically, nursing during pregnancy is safe. Mm-hmm. The one caveat to that I would say is if you had trouble getting pregnant the first time, if you've had miscarriages, mm-hmm. that would be something you would want to consider strongly weaning, because you obviously don't want to increase any risks. But if you are nursing a toddler, you had healthy pregnancies, and you're not quite ready to be done, but you're also in that window of time where you're ready to start trying, mm-hmm. it is fine to keep going. It's not otherwise going to affect your chances to get pregnant or anything like that. I recommend the book Adventures in Tandem Nursing. It's really in depth. I read it preparing for my second baby to come, and it was very useful. It talks about different, you know, nursing positions potentially to be creative with a toddler and a baby, and also, you know, strategies. For example, you always want to nurse the baby first, and so I highly recommend that book. In terms of preparing mentally for it, it's just, I would give yourself a runway, mm-hmm. especially with the bedtime, of having someone else stepping in with your toddler before baby comes. You do not want to be the sole provider of nurturing and comfort for a toddler and a newborn. Right. It's a lot.
Right.
And so setting some of those boundaries and getting to a good nursing, like a daily nursing routine with your toddler, mm-hmm. for when baby comes is really going to set you up for better success.
Gotcha. And speaking of that, so is it the, in tandem nursing, like mm-hmm. this question just popped into my head. So is it that when you're doing extended nursing, like, are people still like pumping and doing breast milk in a bottle? Is that ever the case? Or is it more so the physical, like, breastfeeding?
It's usually breastfeeding. Okay. I don't know any, like, I would not recommend that. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Like, I hated pumping. Mm-hmm. So like the idea of that just sounds terrible. I can see people, like, maybe you've weaned your toddler, but they see the nursing, uh-huh. and they're like, hey, I want some of that, but right. you don't want to actually latch them.
Right.
Then certainly I know people who have given their child some breast milk in a cup, uh-huh. or, you know, so that they can get some nutritional value and, you know, that keeps that going without necessarily relatching. Gotcha. But yeah, the vast majority are going to be latched
okay.
to the breast.
Okay. That's what I figured. And then, like, what is it? So, you know, tandem nursing, I'm trying to, like, walk us through what that's like, you know, yeah. when you're nursing. Is it both at the same time? Is it first one, the second one? I can see how that might be exhausting, or,
yeah.
well, just tell us, what is it like, tandem nursing?
So for me, I'm trying to now think back how I did it. Mm-hmm. Usually I did not do it at the same time.
Okay.
Because my older, and one of the reasons I decided to keep going mm-hmm. was that my older she was just mommy's girl.
Okay.
And I knew it was going to be a problem. It may be because I'm an only child. I saw like this older child who was used to me having me was going to have this little, you know, gremlin come in and steal mom all
right.
the time.
Right.
And so I provided it as like some of our one-on-one time.
Okay.
And we did have to set some of those boundaries because she saw the baby nursing on demand all the time and wanted to go back to that. Mm-hmm. And that was not, you know, tenable.
Sure.
So I would, in the morning, I would feed the baby and then she would come in and have a nursing session. But we would get to the point of where it was literally like, all right, we're doing this for 3 minutes. And when the clock says this, we're going to be done, right? Because they're older and you can have those conversations.
Right.
And so for me, I was not just, you know, have full access to mom's, mm-hmm. you know, milk all the time.
Gotcha.
And I would do nap time and that. But so that nursing session kind of naturally dropped off, though, when she dropped her nap.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we were kind of at two times a day. Actually, stepping back slightly. So I had mentioned my younger had weaned and I was pumping 4 times a day. So it was not quite enough. We did supplement because I was just not, as I mentioned, I hate the pump. So that's what I felt I could do and make the most sense of our lives and still,
okay.
you know, go. But the older one nursing three times a day kept my milk up. I really don't think I would have been able to pump as long as I did without her. So effectively, I was getting like milk stimulation seven times a day.
Gotcha.
And so that was really important to me as well, because I did want to continue having that some breast milk for my younger.
Sure.
So that was a really good tool in the end.
Gotcha. That makes sense. So what about like physically? What is it like, you know, of course, what comes to mind is like toddlers have teeth and like, you know, what is it physically like when you're nursing a toddler?
So when a latch is correct, the teeth are nowhere near the nipple. They're hidden by the tongue and the top lip. And so yes, younger toddlers may start to test and bite, but those are where some of those boundaries come in. So boundary setting isn't just about how often you nurse. It can be the behavior, right? Like my daughter would kind of, actually, I realized it was my fault in a way when she was starting to nip me a little bit, because at the time when we were nursing, I would take her fingers and kind of nibble on them while she nursed. And so she was just mimicking back at me. I realized. So I was like, once I stopped that behavior, she stopped.
Right.
But another very common toddler behavior is hitting. And, you know, you don't get what you want. They start whacking you. It is perfectly okay my phrase was, I don't share my body with people who hurt me. So we will come back to this later. And so, you know, it's not just letting it go, you know, full throttle.
Sure.
It is teaching them the behaviors that are appropriate to get what you want.
Okay. That definitely makes a lot of sense. Sounds like boundaries are a big part of this.
Yeah. It's basically all I teach.
Okay. And how to establish boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now another thing I'm curious about, you mentioned it earlier, but what is it like for partners and extended breastfeeding? And, you know, breasts in our society are very sexualized, for lack of a better way of putting it. So, you know, if you feel like, how does that impact relationships and then like family members around you both? Let's start with how do you deal with that? And then I guess part two is, what can other people do to support you as opposed to like, you know, frustrating you?
Yeah. Fortunately, I find that the vast majority of the people who find me do have very supportive husbands or partners. Mm-hmm. And those who don't probably aren't getting this far, you know? And because it is very hard when you are in a sexualized environment coming into birth, you know, and these, you know, sacs on our chest have been looked at in a certain way. And when then for years after that, you are using them as a functional tool, still for someone else, I might add, like that it is hard. Yep. And the thing I find that husbands and partners struggle with is they see their partner having a hard time and they're fixers. They want to fix, they want to make it better. Right. And they see breastfeeding as the problem because it's the thing we're complaining about. So then, well, the solution must be wean. And that isn't always necessarily the best thing, right? Because especially if you don't have anything else in place. Like my big thing is like, you don't want to take away something without replacing it with something else. And most nursing parents who are struggling don't have that something else. They don't know what it is.
Right.
And so it might be that the dad steps in and says like, okay, well, I'm going to do bedtime. And you do it cold turkey. And it's just like, it's always been mom and all of a sudden it's dad. And the kid screams for three hours. Dad comes out frustrated and is like, forget it. I can't do this. And so what people can do instead of trying to wean or help mom wean in fashions of taking mom away is just support mom in other ways. Do the dishes. Do the laundry. Make it so when mom comes out of that bedroom and, you know, is exhausted, that there is nothing else for her to do besides sit on the couch and watch, you know, whatever show she wants to watch.
Right.
And not asking about sex, right? Like, don't bring it up. Let her have a moment to just be without being asked of in another way. And trust me, those things will make her more inclined to want to have sex with
right,
you.
Right.
So that's what I would say for partners. And I think for others, it's more just encouragement, mm-hmm. saying like, wow, that's amazing what you're doing for your child. Like, great job. Instead of saying, when do you think you're going to mm-hmm. wean? Just say like, what's your favorite part? Right. Or like, ask about right. it. And, or, you know, ask like, is there anything I can do to right. help? And that goes a long way. Just keeping an open mind and not thinking that our end goal is always just to get to the finish mm-hmm. line. Getting there is so much more valuable.
Yeah. And I can imagine, do people share that they experience some level of judging, like people judging them for their choice?
Definitely for the older kids, I would mm-hmm. say after three, mm-hmm. that judgment comes in. Mm-hmm. I certainly felt it. Mm-hmm. My own mom said one time, like, I'm sorry, that's just wrong. And I just had to be like, well, I'm sorry, that's none of your business. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. It's just not. I guess something that I didn't bring up was it was COVID mm-hmm. for my story, because my kids were 9 months and 3.5 years, and we were in the thick of it. And I think that what we're going to see when the data comes is that lockdown time really impacted a lot of moms to be able to be extended nursers because it reduced that judgment and that social noise for a lot of women. And I think we were kind of coming out of it again, mm-hmm. you know, but as moms go back to work, but we are now in this flexible time with a lot of, at least office women who work in offices, to be able to stay home. And I think we're going to see an uptick in the longevity of how long we nurse because we have that flexibility and privacy to do it without judgment.
That's very true. Very true. So, okay, you're at the point you've been doing extended nursing, and now you're like, okay, I am ready to wean. Mm-hmm. So what are your like top two or three suggestions for when you come to that point?
So I think I mentioned this before, like you need something else to replace the milk with, mm-hmm. and you want to build connection. So think about it as whatever void, and it does feel somewhat like a void when you have you wean a nursing session, what can you fill it with that isn't, another thing I don't agree with is like, just distract them, you know, like they're smart children often, and they're really astute, and they're not just going to forget about milk, you know?
Right.
So make sure that you are staying connected through play is a huge one for me. But whatever, like, you can have a timer and say like, okay, let's play for 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be that long, just to have that quick connection, maybe in the morning instead of that nursing session. Don't just get up and go run, like look them in the eye and still have that time. And that's going to go a long way with reducing some of those meltdowns that I think overwhelm moms who have never had to experience a meltdown without having the fix of the boob to mm-hmm. get them quiet instantly.
Right. Yeah. Now, and I should ask, I don't think we talked about this. How long typically are toddler nursing sessions compared to infant nursing sessions?
It varies. Mm-hmm. I would say they ideally to be like in a healthy, manageable way for most moms, no more than 20 minutes. But that to me is even kind of long mm-hmm. for older kids. Mm-hmm. It really does, when they're older, sometimes it's just that little connection. They just want a little like, you're there, I got you, okay, I'm going to pop off again. But if you were still listening, if you're listening to this and you have a 2 or 3 year old and you're like laughing at me because you're like, what? Like, they're on the boob, you know, 30 minutes at a time every time or more, you know, I would say that's probably where some boundaries, and if it's working for you, it's working for you. But if it's impacting their meals, right, or your sanity, mm-hmm. then it's time to reduce that a bit.
Gotcha. And then do you find, like, for most people, or are there any generalities about the weaning process? Like, how long does it take, or do you prefer or not prefer or recommend, or do you have thoughts on toddler led versus the mom deciding that it's time to be over?
Yeah. Okay. That's a great question. I do have a recommendations, uh-huh. mostly to not do it very fast. I think So this is the model that usually happens. Someone gets burnt out, they're done, it's reactionary, and they try, like, I'm going cold turkey. And that's not good for a couple of reasons. Obviously, like, emotionally, that's going to be harder. But physically also, during the weaning process, all of those early issues like mastitis, clogged ducts, engorgement come back if you do it too quickly. Mm. And so we really want to make sure that we're reducing the risk of all of that for you.
Right.
So it always depends on where the starting point is, right? If someone comes to me and they're still nursing their toddler on demand throughout the night and five times during the day, we're going to take a few months, I would say, to get to, if they're really ready to wean and want to be done. So, you know, if someone says, I have high risk pregnancies, I want to work on my neck, you know, getting pregnant again, I'm ready to wean. Well, we really need to pare that down. But if someone comes to me with a 4-year-old and they nurse twice a day and for a few minutes, but they're just like clinging and they haven't been able to figure out how to cut that cord completely. Mm-hmm. We talk about, you know, the emotional aspect of it and how to celebrate it and build community around it and to make it feel less just like done.
Gotcha.
This is it, you know?
Gotcha.
So, and that could take a few weeks.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. Well, then as we wrap up, what would you say is the most frustrating part of the work you do?
I mean, honest, if I'm being totally honest, it's more like marketing. It's the business side. It's Instagram, like trying to find people. It is just a constant, you know, battle managing that. But when it comes to actually working with people, it's so fulfilling. And it heals that part of me where I was alone. And knowing that, you know, I can be there for them and their time of need is so fulfilling.
So what is the most rewarding part of your work?
When I get emails or DMs from people who maybe I had a consult with once, or we worked with in our communities, whatever it is, and they send me a message and a picture saying, we got there, we made it, and they're happy and it's a celebration. And that's the best part, knowing that, you know, they had better and an experience holistically because I could be there for them is just the best feeling.
Yeah, I bet. And is there anything that we didn't touch upon that I just find this so, again, for my own knowledge, just not something that I know enough about. So I just think it's important that we talk about it and normalize it. So is there anything that we missed that you want to tell folks?
Oh, I think, you know, it's solely up to you if you decide to share about it or not. Mm. I talk about it all the time. So for me, it's so normal to talk about it. But even like when I say to someone like, oh yeah, I nursed for 4.5 years. And if I get that like big eyed look, I'm like, oh yeah, I guess that's right. This isn't super normal to talk about all the time. But it's up to you. If you want to keep it private, it is your objective. It can just be that way, but just know if you're starting to feel isolated in that privacy, there are communities that we have out there for you to connect with. But if you decide to be that advocate or you want, I personally was never, even when they were young, comfortable nursing in public. I've very large chested, that whole sexuality, like I couldn't get past that.
Right.
But so when I see moms and they're out nursing their toddlers, it's like, oh, I would just want to give them a high five. It's amazing. Right. Because the more we do see it, the more normalized it will be. Uh-huh. So I do hope that one day in Europe, it's totally different. It's super normal, but you know, we're here. So
we are indeed. So then what would be your favorite piece of advice that you would give to a mom around this?
Okay. For a new mom, or if you are a mom with a toddler and you're expecting a second, I would really recommend, if it's financially feasible, to get a postpartum doula. Mm-hmm. I think that is a game changer. It was hard in the beginning with my first. Uh-huh. And I had some pretty negative experiences, unfortunately, with my hospital. Just they didn't have the space or time. Like I was 4 days postpartum and they couldn't see me for 2 weeks. And if I had waited, in that time. And they had literally told me on the milk line to go get formula.
Right.
And after all of the messaging, like they were, you know, baby friendly hospital, right. everything.
And then it was like, well, we can't help you actually.
Yeah. 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 So if I hadn't been able to reach out and get someone to me, I wouldn't be here today. I would not have gotten to 4 years.
Gotcha.
Without, and this actually goes to my second piece of advice is, don't think about years. Don't think about a goal being even six months. Uh-huh. I know we hear that as the goal, exclusive nursing for 6 months. The first goal should just be getting a good latch. Mm. Just focus on that and go hour to hour, session to session, because it is a lot. No matter how much you prepare before, like it is going to be a lot of, mm-hmm. of a new experience. Mm-hmm. And so you can't get to 4 years if you don't get to 4 weeks. So just focus on those beginning days and it gets easier and easier. And actually, I am thinking of one thing that you had asked me,
yeah.
what else we hadn't touched on. And I think a really big thing to also bring up that's important is the discrepancy between breastfeeding rates of, you know, different ethnicities, mm-hmm. and how, you know, it is to me very unfortunate that I vastly see white women, mm-hmm. and because, you know, that's something we continue to have to work on, but that comes from the newborn phase, that comes from giving women postpartum care,
right.
because they're, again, you're not going to get to a year or 2 years if you're not getting past those first few weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Excellent, excellent advice. Well, where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram at erin.nursingmamas. So you can say hello. Please come follow, DM me. I have a podcast myself that is it's been like 6 months now. So we have a few episodes up and it's called Weaning It, a podcast for toddler nursing moms. And so I bring on guests to share their experiences. Again, my goal with it is to educate, but also just to show you that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. And so different lived experiences there. So if this is a topic that you're interested in, please come listen. And you can find me also at nursingmamas.com. All my courses, communities are there. And then last, I think I have a free quiz. So we talked about the different stages.
Yep.
If you are interested to know what stage you're in and get resources specifically geared toward that stage, you can go to nursingmamas.com/quiz to get
awesome.
That.
Awesome. Thank you. And we will link all of that in the show notes. Well, thank you so much, Erin, for agreeing to come onto the podcast. This was really informative and just, again, a topic that's so important to talk about. And I really appreciate all of the wonderful information you shared.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm grateful I could share it with your audience.
Wasn't that a great episode? So many great insights. And you know, after I have a guest on, I do something called Dr. Nicole's Notes, where I talk about my top takeaways from the conversation. Here are my 5 takeaways from my conversation with Erin. Number 1, extended breastfeeding or extended nursing is more common than you think, but it is still quite isolating. Nursing past a year actually isn't unusual globally, but in the US, cultural norms can make moms feel isolated. Erin reminds us that extended just means going beyond the cultural norm, not a specific age. So if you want to do extended nursing, you're not alone and you certainly are not weird or unusual. Totally, totally normal. Number 2, start early and line up that support while you're still pregnant. One piece of advice that I wish I would have been able to follow myself is to line up a lactation consultant before your baby comes. Remember how Erin shared that she would have had to wait 2 weeks to be seen at the hospital, which is just not realistic when you're struggling in those early days of breastfeeding. So you want to look for an IBCLC prenatally, so you're not scrambling for help when you need it most. A postpartum doula can also be a real game changer for breastfeeding support and your overall recovery. A postpartum doula often is both certified as a lactation consultant as well, so that is another option for you too.
Number three, boundaries are not the enemy, they're the lifeline. If you're feeling overwhelmed, you don't have to stop nursing. You might just need those boundaries. Erin talked about how you can keep that connection without being an on-demand milk factory 24/7. So think about scheduled nursing sessions, having your partner step in, or simply saying, not right now. Boundaries protect both your bond and your well-being. I remember when I was breastfeeding, I always felt like my whole schedule revolved around pumping and nursing. And perhaps with boundaries, it doesn't have to feel that way. Now, number four, don't think in years, just think in hours or the next session. This one's really important. Erin said, you can't get to 4 years if you don't get to 4 weeks. That's real talk. So if you're just starting out, don't get caught up in those long-term goals of 3 months, 6 months, a year. Just focus on getting a good latch, then the next feed, then the next day, and take it step by step, and that time will add up. And then number five, the end is also a beginning. So when you're ready to wean, it helps to think about what will replace that nursing connection, not just taking it away. Whether it's snuggling or reading together or quiet 5-minute playtime, find ways to stay close. Weaning is often emotional for both you and your child. That's okay and that's normal. You want to celebrate the journey, know that there's no one right way to do it, and just find a good replacement for that nursing connection. And then finally, remember that whether you breastfeed for a few days, a few months, or a few years, you will be doing a beautiful job. And if you want structured support for birth and postpartum, do check out the Birth with Power Pathway. It's my online childbirth education class, brand new, coming out in May. If you want to be the first to know, hop on my email list, drnicolerankins.com/email, so you will get notified when it's ready. So that's it for this episode. If you found it helpful, please share it with a friend, because every pregnant woman deserves to feel informed and empowered. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you're loving the show, again, I'd really appreciate you leaving that quick review in Apple Podcast. It helps more moms to be find birth with power. Most importantly, it helps them step into their birth with confidence, just like you. Now, do me one more favor and come on back next week. And remember to trust your power and take charge of your birth.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull, Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern. Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.